If you'll turn in your Bibles this evening to Acts chapter 13, in just a moment we will read a verse or two there from that text concerning the church at Antioch by way of introducing our lesson this evening, and we're glad that you're here. We appreciate especially those who are visiting, and we hope that you will be able to come back as you have an opportunity. When we turn to the church at Antioch in Acts chapter 13, when we look at a study of the New Testament church, one of the things that we find is that the local church is engaged in a work. We have a mission and a work to do in Clarksville, and Antioch had a mission and a work to do in the area where they were at. And sometimes we have studies, and they are good studies, on what we call the work of the church. And that work is threefold, and it's illustrated, I believe, well in Acts chapter 13 and verse 1. We talk about the work of the church being evangelism, benevolence, and edification. Notice in Acts chapter 13 and verse 1, now there were at Antioch in the church that was there, prophets and teachers, and Barnabas and others are mentioned. And we find in verse 3, then, when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. And we know that Paul and Barnabas went out to preach the word in other places. And so we find that this congregation is engaged not only in preaching and teaching there, but sending others out to preach the gospel and save the lost elsewhere. And so we know that they go, verse 4, they went forth by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus, and then Antioch and Iconium and Lystra and thereafter. So the work of evangelism. Come with me to Acts chapter 11 and verse 29. Again, the local church at Antioch. There were in those days prophets from Jerusalem. They came into Antioch, verse 27. One stands up and says there's going to be a famine in verse 28. And so the disciples, again, in the local church at Antioch, every man, according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren that dwelt in Judea. So, benevolence toward those needy saints in Judea. Back up with me a little bit to chapter 11 and verse 26. Again, in the local church at Antioch, after that congregation had begun, we find that Barnabas sends for Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that even for a whole year, they were gathered together with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first into Antioch. I believe that this is an illustration of what we might call edification or building up of the Christians. They had obeyed the gospel, and Paul comes and teaches them more. So chapter 13, 1, we have evangelism, and chapter 11 and verse 29, we have benevolence, and chapter 11 and verse 26, we have what we call edification. When we look at this study that I'm sure many of us are very familiar with, when you think about the work of evangelism, the work of benevolence, the work of edification, I'll get it right in a minute. When we think of those lessons, we've heard a number of lessons concerning, for example, evangelism. We talk from time to time about the need of sharing the gospel, and Jeff mentioned this in his prayer. We talk about personal evangelism. We talk about taking the gospel to the lost. Recently, we had a lesson on benevolence when we had this situation with Hurricane Harvey. And this congregation responded to that need. And we want to help our brethren. So, benevolence. But when was the last time you heard a lesson on edification? You know, I think sometimes with regard to edification, we assume that we know what that is. We know what that is. It means building up, and so we really don't need a lesson on that. And yet, we're going to see this evening, I believe we need to be reminded of that very thing. So this evening, I want us to consider the work, the local church work of edification, and I described it as the often neglected and abused New Testament command. It is a command. But I say neglected because of us, maybe. Maybe we have neglected to talk about that, and we assume that we know what it is. We maybe have heard that word used a lot. We know that it means to build up, to edify. But because we think we know what that is, and maybe we hear that word a lot, we don't talk about the specifics of it, and then we find ourselves maybe where we're not being edified. And then I use the word abused because some, including some brethren, would take a Bible word, edification, and they would use it in a wrong way. And we'll talk about that later in the lesson. I want to talk about edification this evening. I want us here at Warfield Boulevard to build each other up. And we're going to talk about some specifics of how we can do that. That's something that should always be on our radar. Anything I say, anything I do here should build you up, should build me up. How can we go about doing that? And the reason I believe that it is important to remind ourselves of this is because, unfortunately, brethren sometimes act in a way that is not building up. I don't think that there is a year that goes by that I don't hear about some local congregation somewhere that has a problem where they're dividing in some kind of way. I don't know of any year that goes by where I don't hear that. In fact, this past week, in the Middle Tennessee area, there is a Church of Christ that is dividing now over the use of the building. They're getting small, and they wanted to consider selling that building and moving to another location, and there was a big divide over that. It happens all the time, brethren. And so edification might be something that we say we know all about, and yet maybe we're not practicing it. Maybe we're not going back and looking at it, what it actually is, and trying to be a member that edifies and builds up one another. So I think it's good for us this evening to remind us of these things. You know, edification could be neglected because somebody says, well, it's hard to understand. It's really not. Turn with me to Acts chapter 20 when Paul was speaking to the elders there at Ephesus. We find that he is encouraging them on a number of issues regarding the local congregation. And he says in Acts 20 and verse 32, "Now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up." This is the word translated elsewhere, edification. "And to give you the inheritance among them that are sanctified." God's word is the basis of what builds us up. That's not hard to understand. When we practice God's word in our personal lives, when we teach God's word to others, there is going to be the building up. Come with me to Ephesians chapter 4, and let's go back a few verses from the scripture reading that we had earlier in verse 16. Back up to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, and you'll notice that all of these men are related to the word of God. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, and Christ, when he ascended on high, he placed in the church these individuals. He gave some to be apostles and prophets. These are men who reveal the word of God. Some evangelists. These are men who preach the word of God. And some pastors and teachers. These are the men who uphold the word of God. But they all relate to the word of God. And then in verse 12, why, Paul? "For the perfecting of the saints unto the work of ministering, unto the building up of the body of Christ." Notice in verse 11, the word of God, men who have something to do with the word of God, it's for the purpose of building up. Edification is not difficult. We understand that the word of God is the basis of that. Edification may be neglected because somebody says, well, it's unnecessary. We all know what that is. Jesus said in Matthew 16 and verse 18, "Upon this rock I will build," the same word used elsewhere as edify, "I will build my church." The church is a building. It's described as a building. And we want to be someone who is building up and not tearing down. In Acts chapter 9, turn with me there. As the church grows in the book of Acts from Pentecost, Jesus said, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost part of the world." As the book of Acts records the growth of the New Testament church, what is the statement that is made in Acts chapter 9 and verse 31? "So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee," we're not talking about a building, people. These Christians throughout Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace, being edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit was multiplied. Not only do I want you to notice in verse 31 that they were being edified, but look at the word right in front of it. And then look at what comes behind it. How do we edify one another? How do we build up one another when there's peace? And when we work at that, and we'll talk about that later. If I am working for peace in the local congregation, then I am someone who is working for edification. And then look at some words after that. Walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. I'm following the words of the Lord. I'm a peacemaker on one side of it. I'm following God's word in my life on the other side of it. And right in the middle is I'm someone who builds up. Some might neglect the subject of edification because they might think that it's optional. Well, it's a command just like other commands in the New Testament. We talked about that this morning, about obeying all of the commands. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 when Paul finishes talking about Jesus coming again and how that we'll be caught up in the air to be with Him. And he talks about how that coming is like a thief in the night. We need to be ready for that kind of thing. In Ephesians 5 and verse 11, wherefore exhort one another and build each other up, even as also ye do. That's in the command form. That's not an option. Edification, building up, is a command. And when I find myself in a local church situation where I'm discussing with others things, and when I'm working with others on different kinds of things, in the case of this Middle Tennessee church, it had to do with what are we going to do with this building? Whatever that situation is, I've got to follow that command. But whatever this is, I'm going to build up. I'm not going to tear down. It's a command. Edification might be neglected because somebody says, well, it's really not something you have to put on your radar. It's just there all the time. Well, not necessarily. We're going to look more at this later. We're going to turn to Romans 14 later. But if we don't practice edification, then it will cause division. It will cause problems. And often it is not over doctrinal matters. It's over matters of opinion and judgment and scruple. I moved in 1990 to work with the church in Corpus Christi, Texas. And there was another Church of Christ building in town, and we hadn't been there very long. And we go by this building. It was 3 feet of brick, 3 feet of wood, 3 feet of brick, 3 feet of wood, 3 feet of brick, all the way down the side of this building. And I was going along with one of the church members who had lived there pretty much his whole life. I said, that's kind of an odd way to build a building. He kind of chuckled and said, well, those brethren couldn't decide on brick or wood, and so this is how they compromised it. Nobody's willing to give in anything anymore on matters of judgment and opinion. We don't want to give in anything. We don't want to work with others. We don't want to say sure. But we stick to our guns and we just make it a point, and this is the way it's going to be. And so that's how they solve that. But you don't find that really in the New Testament, where Paul says something like, if you're at odds, then just pick a 50-50 happy medium. Paul talks about how that you give up on those matters. Paul said, if my brother is going to stumble, I will eat meat no more. You give up. He doesn't say, well, just come 50-50 on that meat thing. And so if it's left alone, then it actually causes problems. And somebody might say, well, it's all already being done. It's always being done. It's already there. Well, maybe not. And so this evening, I want us to look at edification. We have lessons from time to time, and we need them on evangelism, and especially evangelizing the lost. And we need lessons on benevolence, but we also need lessons on edification. What does it mean for me as a member of the Warfield congregation to edify and build up my brothers and sisters in Christ? Well, we know what the word means. We know that it means to build up. It's not what makes me feel good. It's not a matter of an emotional or private experience or a sentiment. Paul says, I commend you to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up. As my mind hears the Word of God, studies it and reads it and obeys it, I am built up and I am edified. We don't want to be someone who tears down. We want to be someone who builds up. Now turn with me then to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We're edified when we understand. When there is no understanding, there is no edification. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Notice how Paul dealt with this matter at Corinth. There were men at Corinth who could speak in tongues during the first century when that gift was given for the revelation of Scripture. We don't have that today. But in the first century when they had that, at the church at Corinth, there were those who were speaking in tongues. But some of them had the attitude that I'm going to speak in tongues even if I don't have an interpreter. I'm going to do that because that's a gift I have. And Paul says, now wait a minute. You would be speaking, they would not be understanding, and they would not be edified. And so we learn from this that there has to be understanding before there can be edification. Look at 1 Corinthians 14, beginning in verse 15. What then is it? I will pray with the Spirit. And by the way, in this context, with the Spirit is, I understand to mean the spiritual gifts. The miraculous spiritual gifts. I will pray with the Spirit. I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing with the understanding also. Then look at verse 16. Else, if thou bless with the Spirit, if you're doing something in the assembly that it involves a spiritual gift, tongue speaking, prophecy, there were other things that could be done miraculously. If you're doing something with the Spirit in the assembly, how shall he that filleth the place of the unlearned say the amen at the giving of thanks, seeing he knoweth not what thou sayest? He doesn't understand. For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. Underscore that in your Bible. Verse 16, he doesn't understand, and so verse 17, he's not edified. What that tells us is that anything that we understand scripturally and spiritually, that's what brings edification. For when I understand the words of the songs that we're singing, I'm edified. When we understand the words of the brother who's prayed, we're edified. The comments around the Lord's table, the preaching, the teaching in our Bible class. When we understand these words, then we are built up and we are edified. When there's no understanding, there's no edification. So, our understanding needs to match God's Word, and that's what edification is. When we understand the Word of God and it's put into practice in our lives, then there will be the building up. So how is it done then? Well, the proclaiming of God's Word. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 12, we read those earlier. The apostles and prophets and the evangelists and the pastors and the teachers, they all relate to some aspect of the Word of God. The revelation of God's Word, the preaching of God's Word, the defending or the upholding of God's Word. And then that leads to edification. This may be a simple point to us this evening, but it's setting up for a very important point that we're going to look at later tonight. And that is that people turn to other things other than the Word of God and call it edification. So we have to lay the groundwork here. It's always the Word of God that is the basis for edification. Turn back with me to 1 Corinthians 14, verses 3 and 4. 3, 4, and 5. When we use Bible words, we need to use them in Bible ways. When we use Bible terms, we need to use them in Bible ways. And with regard to the word edification, it's always with regard to the Word of God being the basis for that and the cause or the means for that. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3, but he that prophesieth, that's the Word of God, speaketh unto men edification and exhortation and consolation. And he that speaketh in a tongue, the Word of God, edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth, the word of God, edifieth the church. Now I would have you all speak with tongues, but rather that you should prophesy, and greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. It's this word of God being preached in different ways, tongue speaking, prophecy, but it's bringing about edification. And then Paul later gives some rules for that in the local assembly, how the tongue speaker is supposed to take turns and so forth. Look at verse 12. So you also, since you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may abound unto the edifying of the church. And then jump down to verse 26. What else then, brethren? When you come together, each one hath a psalm, that's related to the word of God, hath a teaching, that's related to the word of God, hath a revelation, hath a tongue, hath an interpretation. All of these things deal with the word of God. Let all things be done unto edifying. We're going to see later in the lesson how some, including brethren, have attached the word edification to social and recreational things, and it's never that in the word of God. It's always attached to the word of God. Paul says that his authority, which was preaching, 2 Corinthians 10:8, 2 Corinthians 13, verse 10, was given to him by Christ for the building up and not for the tearing down, related to the word of God. Turn with me to Ephesians 2. Let's look at the New Testament church being built upon the prophets and apostles, Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. We find there that Paul talks about the church is to be built up. But again, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. What are these men doing? Revealing the word of God, teaching it, upholding it, defending it. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and based upon that word of God, verse 21, in whom each individual building, fitly framed together, groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God in the Spirit. How is it done? The proclaiming of God's word. We don't have social and recreational activities this evening, tonight in the building that are church sponsored for our young people. It's the word of God that's going to build them up. There's a time and place for those things, and I love those kinds of things. But the work of the church and what edifies and builds up is based upon the word of God. But there's also something as we take that word of God and put it into practice in our life. Turn now with me to Romans chapter 14. I have to be a person in the local church that works for peace with my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ in the local church. And there are going to be times when there are matters of judgment and scruple and opinion. And even in those matters, I have to be someone who works to build up. Paul, in this whole chapter, is talking about matters of personal scruple. Look at verse 1. Your version might say scruple or opinion. And the chapter is about whether or not someone wants to eat meat or not. At lunch this afternoon, some of us had meat. Some don't. It doesn't matter. With God, that's a matter of indifference. And Paul understood that. And Paul taught that. But some people are going to push their opinion. They're going to push their judgment. And they're going to run roughshod over somebody else. And Paul says, look at verse 19 now, that does not build up. That does not edify. And so in verse 19, so then let us follow after things which make for peace. Follow after things. That's the things that involve me as a Christian, where I'm willing to step back and work with others. Things that make for peace. And then look at what he says. And things whereby we may edify one another. Back up to verse 13. Paul said, I don't want to put a stumbling block in my brother's way. I'm not going to eat meat in front of a brother and run roughshod over his conscience if he doesn't want to do that. Look at verse 14. I know that I can do it. I know that it's not unclean. I know that I can do it. But verse 15, I'm not going to destroy my brother. He may not have that knowledge. This was in a first century world where some actually had a conviction and a scruple that I can't eat that meat that had been offered in that idol's temple. They had a very strong scruple about that. And Paul says, in those types of things, I'm willing to give up. Look at verse 20. Don't overthrow for meat's sake the work of God. The work of God there is your fellow brother and sister in Christ. Look at verse 21. It is good not to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor to do anything whereby thy brother stumbleth. We're not going to press our opinion on someone else. Come down with me to chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. Now we that are strong, that's the brother who feels that he can eat meat, we are to bear the infirmities of the weak and not please ourselves. Underscore that in your Bible. I have to be willing to take a back seat on some of these matters so that I can work with my brother. And then look at what he says in verse 2. Let each one of us please his neighbor. And that's not your neighbor that lives next door to you down the street. In the context, it's the fellow brother and sister in Christ in the local congregation. For that which is good unto edifying. And then the example is Jesus Christ. For Christ also pleased not himself. He came to this earth and died on the cross. He didn't sit up in heaven and say, well, I just want to do what I want. How is edification done? It's based upon the Word of God. And then number two, we're going to work for peace and we're going to practice selfless conduct in the local church in matters of judgment and opinion. There will always, brethren, there will always be matters of a judgment and opinion. Since I've been here, in talking with the elders, we have talked about things. There's been matters of judgment and opinion. Do I say to them, no? I mean, we were at a congregation one time in South Carolina, and there were some brethren who were with us, and all of a sudden they didn't show up one Sunday, and then they didn't show up the next Sunday, and the Sunday after that, and we went to see them, and they said, well, we're worshiping in our home. Well, why? They said, well, we believe that when you sing songs, you shouldn't have the songbook. You need to sing the psalms. And so they had songs that were based on the words of the psalms. We have some of those in our songbook. And that's fine. But they were saying you should never use a songbook. Brethren, we'll never be united if every little thing we do not see eye to eye on, we're just simply going to make an issue over that. And that's this very chapter. Meat. It's just meat. I believe that, and I say this for myself as much as anyone, we live in a very selfish world. We see it out here on Wilma Rudolph Boulevard. Everybody's asserting themselves. Everybody's jumping the gun and getting in front of somebody else. It's my way or the highway. We're immersed in that so much that I wonder if it doesn't rub off on us from time to time in the local church. Brethren, we will not always get our way on matters of judgment and opinion. But we continue working together, and it is a command. Look at chapter 14 and verse 19 again. It's not an option. Let us follow after things for peace and things which we may edify one another. Being a peacemaker is someone who builds up. The opposite of that is someone who tears down. So whenever we face those matters of judgment in the local congregation, always be someone, well, whatever happens at the end of the conversation, I'm going to be the one. I'm not going to please myself. I'm going to be the one that works with others and edifies others. Number three, we're going to work together in love. That was our scripture reading, the building up of itself in love. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 8, where Paul again talks about this matter of meat. Every once in a while, I will hear about a local church of Christ where brethren will divide over matters of doctrine. Every once in a while, matters of doctrine. Matters of truth and error. Every once in a while I hear that. But I would say in the majority of cases when I hear things, it is not over that. It's over matters of opinion. We have not learned Romans 14. We have not learned 1 Corinthians 8. Look at this. Now concerning things sacrificed to idols. Look at this. We know that we have that we know that we all have knowledge. He's talking about, if you'll jump down to verse 4 and 5, we know that an idol is not anything, and that meat sacrificed to idols is, there's nothing wrong with eating that. We know that. And so in verse 1 he says, we know that we all have knowledge. Look at this. Knowledge puffeth up. There's some pride there. But love edifieth. What he's saying there is this. Paul says, I know that the idol is nothing. And you could go up there to that idol's temple and you could get some of that meat, bring it down to a meat market, sell it, and eat it, and there wouldn't be anything wrong with that. We know that. I know that. But when you know something, that can actually be something where it puffs you up to where you push it on someone and you bind it on someone. We've talked about this before with regard to holidays and other kinds of things. And I might say, I know that I can celebrate such and such holiday. Well, that's fine, but it can also make me push that on someone else. So then look at the next phrase. He says, love edifies. So Paul is saying, look, I know I can eat this. There's nothing wrong with it. But I'm going to practice love that actually is going to build up my brother. And if that means I don't do such and such, then I won't do it. Look at chapter 8 and verse 13. Wherefore, if meat causeth my brother to stumble, I will eat no flesh forevermore, that I cause not my brother to stumble. I'm willing not to do something in front of this brother. I'm practicing selfless conduct. I know that technically I can eat it, but I'm going to practice love, which means sacrifice, in order to build up my brother. Edification, building up, is going to involve love. It's going to involve peace. It's going to involve practicing the Word of God. And it's also going to involve my speech. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. We've all been in situations and conversations that maybe involve disagreements and that type of thing. But my speech needs to be that which is nothing but edifying. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29, let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth, but such as is good for edifying, as the need may be, that it may give grace or blessing to them that hear. How do I edify? Number one, it's based upon the Word of God. Number two, it's me practicing peace. Number three, I'm practicing selfless love. And number four, when I open my mouth, I'm going to say that which is good unto edifying. Look at verse 29, the phrase corrupt speech. Sometimes when we read that verse, and I use this verse from time to time on lessons about don't say bad words, you know, four-letter words, taking God's name in vain, I use that verse. But you know what? I can be someone who doesn't say any of that at all. But I say things that don't build up. I say things that tear down. It might be some negative statement, some slander, backbiting, gossip, something like that. It doesn't have to be a four-letter word. It doesn't have to be God's name in vain. I can say things that are corrupt in nature that don't build up. Negative language that tears down. So be careful about that. I need to speak in such a way to build up. Paul wanted to speak that way to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 12:19. He wanted to preach and speak and write to them in a way that would build up. So let's make sure that we're using words that build up. And that, for me, that involves practicing some patience. We might have to practice some patience and some self-control and stay and work with the situation. We can't just say the first thing that we think or say the first thing that comes to our mind or whatever we think might, address something. We might have to think that through. Only that which is good unto edifying. You know, that's a good verse to practice in marriage. and maybe I raise my hand first. You know,
go through marriage, and there's times there where you let something fly to your spouse, and then you have to go back later and apologize. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. Say that which is good unto edifying. And sometimes that means we might need to check ourselves a little bit and hold the reins back and speak in such a way that whatever we're talking about, we're going to try to build that situation up and not tear that situation down. And then it's used in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5 that we're going to offer up spiritual sacrifices to God. We are God's spiritual priesthood. There's some religions that say that only a certain group in that religion are priests, when in fact all Christians are priests. You, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Look at the very first part. As living stones are built up a spiritual house. When we come together to worship God and offer up these spiritual sacrifices, it is to be an uplifting, building up experience. Now, can it be unscriptural? Yes. When edification comes in the form of something other than what we just talked about, we've looked at the cases of edification in the New Testament. It's based upon the Word of God, but when it's come in some other form, here's some examples in the religious world. Some have, instead of congregational singing, Ephesians 5:19 and Colossians 3:16 say singing one to another. It's reciprocal, congregational activity. There's no authority for just one person to sing a solo or just a few people to have a choir. There's no authority. We had lessons a few weeks ago on instrumental music. But those types of things are brought in to edify. Boy, I was really edified by that solo. Carlin took piano lessons with several young people there in Springfield, and one of them, just a very young man, apparently he is super talented on the piano, and they've got him doing piano solos in the church where he goes, and organ solos. And he'll do a recital, and sometimes it'll be a religious song, and you'll hear somebody say afterwards, "Man, I was really edified. I was really edified by that." He's just all over that thing. There are religious groups that bring things in to edify, and yet it's not in the form that the New Testament talks about. There are some who are having worship services now with hand clapping and joking and cutting up, and the man purposely trying to get the congregation stirred up with that type of thing. And they'll come out saying, "Well, I was really edified." Sometimes preachers are using human philosophy in sermons rather than book, chapter, and verse. And as Paul told Timothy, preach the word. They're preaching something else. And so somebody will come out and say, "Well, I was really edified." That's not what the Scripture teaches. So yes, in that case, it would be unscriptural. And there are church-sponsored human institutions. We're going to build a college from the church treasury to edify our young people. There might be something more along the lines of a camp or something else where we say we want the young people to be edified. Look, those things are a work of the home. We do those things. We want to do those things, but not from the Lord's treasury. It's like using a Bible word, but we're not using it in a Bible way. And we tell our denominational friends, you shouldn't use the word baptism if you mean by that sprinkling and pouring. But we'll use the word edify, and then we'll use it for a social or recreational thing. It's not used that way in the New Testament. We need to use Bible words in Bible ways. We talk with our religious friends about, well, you use the word pastor for the preacher. You shouldn't do that. Well, we shouldn't use the word fellowship or the word edification in a way that's not used in the New Testament. And it's never used that way in the New Testament. It's always used for the Word of God that gives me edification. These things, I'm all for college. I'm all for camping. I love it. I'm all for recreational activities. I like eating. I like playing ball games. That is a work of the home. It's not a work of the church. Let's use Bible words in Bible ways. And
I'm not misunderstanding that when you send young people out to do something at a camp or something like that, or a meal or a college, yes, they're built up. And if you want to use a word in that way, but when we're going to use to talk about the local church, let's make sure that we're following that New Testament pattern. That's why we spent time earlier talking about so many of those verses where edification comes from the Word of God, not from these other kinds of things. And so what we're doing is we're putting the word edification on these kinds of things, and that's not where true building up comes. So, the local church is fully equipped to edify itself. And in the scripture reading this evening, we've got young people here, and we're going to build them up and help them get to heaven. And the local church, without any other type of outside institution or organization, we are fully equipped. God gave the local church everything it needs to do the work of evangelism, benevolence, and edification. They never have to go out and have some parachurch organization help them. Some parachurch facility, organization, institution to help it out. The local church can always do its work. And so, if we will practice love and speak the truth in love, the scripture reading tonight, the building up of itself in love to make the increase of the body. And look at verse 11. This is extremely important. In verse 11, look at the men that are given to the church to build up and edify in verse 16. What are those men? Do you read softball coach? You're thinking, well, wait a minute. Verse 11. There's a Church of Christ in Springfield that hired a softball coach. Do you read softball coach? You know, camp director or whatever. No, read those men again in verse 11. These are men that are given to the church to edify, and there's not one man in there that is engaged in other kinds of activities that we hear about today. What that tells us is that God, Christ, gave gifts to the church to make them fully equipped for what we need. And it's God's Word that can do that. So how do I get involved as we come to the close of our lesson? Let's start with God's Word each time. If we want to be built up and edified, let's start with God's Word each time. Let's speak encouraging words, even when we get ourselves in situations where there might be a disagreement over matters of judgment and opinion. Speak words that are good unto edifying. Put the church as a whole first. That's what Paul is teaching in Romans 14. He's saying, look, I like meat. I eat meat. But I need to give that up so that I can have peace and edify with my brother. I'm always going to think about you first and the church as a whole first. What is best for Warfield Boulevard as a whole? Whatever that best is, I'm going to work toward that and uphold that and get behind the elders and do that. It's not about me. It's about the church as a whole first. What is the best? What is the best for my brother or sister in Christ? And then last of all, I'm going to be active working with other members. In Ephesians 4 and verse 16, that which each joint supplieth, making the increase of the body unto the building up of itself in love. I'm going to join hands. You're going to join hands with me. I'm going to join hands with you. And we're going to do the work of evangelism, benevolence, and edification, and we're going to work together. We're going to have a mind of peace. We're going to have a mind of unity. We're going to have a mind of love, sacrificial love, and we will see the edification of the body here at Warfield Boulevard. There may be someone here this evening that needs to be a part of that body by coming, repenting of your sins and being baptized into Christ. If you're here and you want to study more and you want to sit down and have an open study and we can sit down with God's Word, let's do that very thing. If you're as a child of God, you need to come back in some kind of way. Maybe I haven't been that person that is working toward edification. Maybe I need to have a change of attitude. We would help you as well. edification. I think it's something that we hear a lot. We may hear that from time to time, but it's good just to remind us of some specifics of how it is practiced so that we don't become that congregation down the road that divides over this little thing or divides over that little thing. But we're not going to let the devil in and do that kind of thing, but we're going to be unified and built up and edified in the most holy faith. If we can help you in some way, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing this song of encouragement?